Good day, and welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. So it's something that most of us just kind of take for granted. You get up in the morning or come home at the end of the day, you turn on the lights or fire up your furnace, and you find comfort thanks to the energy, electricity, and gas that flows into your house. Now, there are big, super profitable utilities that are providing that energy, though, and it comes with a cost. Don't pay your bill, and you won't have access to that energy. And in Michigan, companies like DTE, which have near monopolies on the providing of power to people, can charge based on the demands of their investors instead of the needs of their customers. Despite regulations and state oversight, power is almost exclusively about money, who has it and who doesn't. During the past 2 years, hundreds of thousands of DTE customers in Southeast Michigan fell behind on their bills. No surprise, we had a pandemic that disrupted everything, turned people's lives upside down, and cut people off from the money they needed to sustain their lives. And so as a result, a lot of those folks had their power shut off by DTE at various times. This is according to new reporting in ProPublica, a national nonprofit news organization. When those people had their power shut off, that disconnected them from the wider world, which was particularly scary during the height of the pandemic, and it took away from them a precious resource. Think of how dangerous it is to live in a house that doesn't have power. Think about what that means for families, people with little kids. Why did that happen at the most desperate time that any of us has probably experienced in our lifetimes? And how can we change things? How can we stop making power, access to power, just about money, who has it and who doesn't? A little later in the show, we are going to talk specifically about how we might shift away from the idea of necessities like power being subject to for-profit ideals and toward them being more public goods that everyone has access to regardless of their ability to pay. But first, we want to talk more about this new reporting, and we have the author of that story with us. Sarah Alvarez is the founder and editor-in-chief of Outlier Media, and she wrote this piece. It's titled, Lights Out, Profitable Utility Company Shut Off Electricity to Homes Hundreds of Times. Sarah, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Thanks so much for having me. It's good to be with you. Yeah.
So you reported that hundreds of thousands of Southeast Michigan homes had their power shut off during the onset of the pandemic because they were behind on their bills. Now, a lot of the narrative around that time was about people getting breaks from financial obligations in order to keep them in some level of comfort. Talk about why this happened from DTE, which is the power company that we all rely on, and how we know that that they didn't spare a lot of people who were financially strapped from the consequences of not having money.
Sure. So DTE, what happened in Michigan, let me just say, what happened in Michigan was different from what happened in a lot of states. So when the pandemic began, about 34 states decided, you know, they made either a rule, the governor made a rule or the legislature made a rule that said that power would not be disrupted for people. In Michigan, the state left it to the private utilities to decide how long any grace periods would last. And so DTE did have a grace period It didn't shut anybody off in April, May, or June, but that grace period lasted, you know, only those months. So that was different from, you know, Consumers Energy, for example, who extended that grace period to 8 months for almost all residential customers. And that's why those numbers are very high for DTE. It's because the grace period was short. And it's also because DTE, you know, before the pandemic was shutting a lot of people off, right? It's not that this behavior began during the pandemic. It's that going back to 2013, which is when the state first started keeping track of, you know, how many shutoffs were happening, that those numbers have been higher for DTE when compared to other utilities in the state since then.
And let's talk about that pre-pandemic context. Shutoffs have been a big issue in Detroit for a really long time. We've had, I think, a really long argument, I guess, about the way in which DTE in particular handles people who are behind on bills, who don't have enough money to keep power to their house. But this was the highest number of shutoffs, according to your reporting, since 2016. And I think that reflects that there had been some pressure on DTE to get a hold of this problem in a different way and to stop cutting people off. So let's talk about why the pandemic looked different and worse than what had been going on for several years before.
Well, it may be because people were more financially strapped. It's also because electricity is very expensive. That's also something. I think a lot of times this conversation around shutoffs is a conversation about how much money people have. And of course, that's definitely part of the equation, right? People who have a lot of money don't struggle with this issue. But it's also a question of how expensive this service is. And in Michigan, we are paying some of the highest rates of electricity when compared to the rest of the country. That's, you know, the price per kilowatt hour. That's what the rate is. I don't know why, you know, shutoffs ramped up. That's not something that DTE, you know, told me. What I do know is that it doesn't have anything to do with the grace period. One of the arguments from the Michigan Public Service Commission, which is the body that regulates utilities, one of the arguments against putting into place, you know, a outright ban on utility disconnections was that if people had this longer grace period, that they would get really far behind and then they wouldn't be able to catch up, and either they would be living with that debt or they would be having more shutoffs. But, you know, here we are able to look at DTE, which had the short grace period, versus Consumers, which had the longer grace period. And that number after the grace period ended for Consumers, it didn't go up. So we don't think that it's connected to that grace period. And we really don't know why the number was so high in 2021 when DTE disconnected accounts 178,000 times.
I'm talking with Sarah Alvarez. She's a journalist who is the founder and editor-in-chief of Outlier Media. She has new reporting in ProPublica, a national nonprofit news organization, titled Lights Out, Profitable Utility Company Shut Off Electricity to Homes Hundreds of Thousands of Times. We're talking about the way in which DTE Energy, the largest energy provider, especially here in Southeast Michigan, handled the 2020 and 2021 COVID-19 pandemic, time at which so many people were strapped financially, how they responded to people not being able to pay their utility bills, and how that compares to the other big utility company in our state, Consumers Power. We want to hear from you during the conversation as well. Call and tell us what you make of how we distribute and charge people for energy. What do you make of the way that DTE in particular handles this? Most of us in the city of Detroit, that's our energy provider. Do you think they do a pretty good job of making sure that people have access to power, even if they're maybe not flush with money in their pockets? Or do you think they ought to be thinking about this in different ways, thinking more about access and maintaining it than they are about profitability? DTE is an incredibly profitable company, even as it shuts off power to people who don't have much means at all. As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to the WDET Facebook page and put comments there. Or you can go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can work into the conversation that way. Of course, we especially want to hear from folks who have had a hard time keeping up with their power bills. Are you somebody who's experienced shutoffs? Give us a sense of what the relationship with DTE was like. How helpful were they in helping you keep up with the bills? How much of a break were they willing to give you? And if you did get shut off, how hard was it to get power back? Again, 313-577-1019. And you can go to social media as well to put comments there, and we'll work you into the conversation that way. Of course, Sarah, this disproportionately hits poor Detroiters, which means it disproportionately hits Black Detroiters. That is a huge part of DTE's service area. But talk about the racial dimension of this and, of course, the economic dimension. This is something that exacerbates inequalities that we see in other realms.
Sure. I mean, I think that this is a really important part of these questions, right? There's a couple of things. One thing is that we did want to see, you know, is the reason that there are more shutoffs in DTE's service area, is that because people just don't have as much money? So we did compare the two service areas, DTE and consumers, in terms of income. And we found that, surprisingly, actually, to me, that both of those service areas are about the same when it comes to the rate of poverty. So that's not an explanation for the shutoff. But of course, shutoffs do impact people who don't have money more. And there's fees associated with being shut off. Even when you're shut off for non-payment, you often have to pay a deposit to get turned back on. And that deposit can be hundreds of dollars. So that can make those shutoffs last longer. People who are getting help from the state to get their electricity turned back on, they don't have to pay those fees. But our reporting also found that, you know, about 40% of people who asked for help from the state were turned down. So, you know, it's a lot of people who think they need help who don't get it. The racial dimension is very important. What we know is that DTE's service area has about three times as many African-American customers as consumer service area. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, we really don't know how, you know, Black communities are impacted, because DTE and consumers, none of the electric companies in the state, have to show where the shutoffs are happening. All they do is give a blanket number of shutoffs, and they don't say which zip codes they're happening in. If we knew that, then we really could see, who is this impacting disproportionately, right? Where are these shutoffs happening, and what does that say? But we don't have that information. It's something that the Michigan Public Service Commission could ask for, but they have not asked for that.
Yeah. Okay, when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation with Sarah Alvarez, editor-in-chief of Outlier Media, about DTE, power and shutoffs and poverty here in Southeast Michigan. We will also get to you on the phones and on social media. Elena and Anthony in Detroit, you'll be up first. If you want to join them, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. And you can go to Facebook or Twitter for comments there, and we'll work you into the conversation. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.
WDET is your connection to what's happening in Detroit.
WDET is your place for open dialogue about the issues that impact you.
Stay in the know.
This is WDET FM,
Detroit's NPR station.
This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. My guest right now is Sarah Alvarez. She is the founder and editor-in-chief of Outlier Media and also the author of a piece in ProPublica titled Lights Out, Profitable Utility Company Shut Off Electricity to Homes Hundreds of Thousands of Times. We're talking about how DTE Energy, which provides energy to most of us here in Southeast Michigan, handled people who couldn't come up with enough money for their electric bills, especially during the COVID-19 pandemic, when economic stress, along with lots of other forms of stress, of course, was at an absolute peak. How cooperative was DTE with the idea that people were hurting and that they needed energy more desperately, perhaps, than they did before? We want to hear from you as well during the conversation. Call and tell us what you make of companies like DTE, which make profit off of providing electricity, and decide how to do that according to for-profit ideals rather than thinking of them perhaps as public goods. A little later in the show, we are going to talk specifically about how we might shift away from that for-profit paradigm when we're talking about things like energy. But call and tell us how you find the relationship with DTE right now. Are you someone who has had to deal with shutoffs? Are you someone who's fallen behind on your bills? Tell us what kind of help you've gotten from DTE. Tell us how you've gotten your power back on once it was shut off. As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to social media, to Facebook and Twitter, and we can work into the conversation that way. Before we get to listeners, Sarah, I want to spend some time talking about DTE's responses to your reporting and give you a chance to answer some of their criticisms. The first is that they say that they had a moratorium on power shutoffs for a time. You've talked about that. But they also say that customers have service restored within 48 hours, 85% of the time. Why was this still a big deal? Talk about why shutoffs matter, I suppose. If DTE is able to get the power back on so quickly, is this just a matter of inconvenience then, as I think they're suggesting?
Well, I mean, in Southeast Michigan, I think a lot of people who haven't been disconnected for non-payment, we've still seen, you know, power outages because of big storms or, you know, whatever. So I think that there's a lot of people that are familiar with losing their power for even a couple of days. And I think that it depends how big of a deal that is, right? Like, it depends on how much food you have in your refrigerator and if you're able to keep it cold. It depends on if you're able to, in the case of non-payment, if you're able to come up with the money to get turned back on and what you have to do to come up with that money. Like I said, those deposits can be hundreds of dollars. So I think that, and 15% of those people are not getting reconnected within 48 hours. So because these numbers are very large, because the number of shutoffs is very large, it means that the number of people who are not getting reconnected quickly is also significant. So it's not, you know, I think that those are things that we should really think about. And again, if we had better data from the Michigan Public Service Commission, we could know, like, well, if you're not getting reconnected in 48 hours, are you getting reconnected in 50 or are you getting reconnected in 2 to 3 weeks or a month, right? Like, this is an area where I feel like we need more information.
DTE also points out that in FY 2021, eligible DTE customers received $119 million in financial aid. They expect that number to grow to $163 million this year. And DTE talks a lot about the efforts it makes to help people who fall behind on their bills to avoid shutoffs. Talk about why that's not, or in your estimation, is that a significant part of the story that they're making an effort here to make sure that people don't get cut off, but that they are enrolled in payment plans, all kinds of other kinds of things.
Sure. I mean, I think that is significant. It's important, though, that hundreds of millions of dollars, that's federal dollars and state dollars, right? So that's money that we are paying as taxpayers, that's helping people who can't pay. And as ratepayers, we also pay, right? So it is that they're connecting people to help, but it's not that money is actually coming from the utility. It's coming from us. And, you know, I think that they have stepped up their attempts to connect people to help more readily, which I think is great. But it's really a question of, like, how are we going to pay for this? Is this something that should be subsidized, right? Should the cost be high and then we subsidize it in all of these different ways? Or, you know, is there an option for the cost not to be high? These are the types of questions that I think are also important when we're talking about shutoffs and the cost of energy.
I should also point out that DTE asserts quite strongly that any implication that they're targeting people of color for service interruptions is false.
And I didn't make that.
And that's not what you're saying. Yeah, I
mean, absolutely not.
You're really asking a question, I think, about whether there is a disproportionate impact on African Americans, and as you pointed out, there's not data, They won't share the data to let us know exactly what's going on there.
Absolutely, this is all about a question of impact. Right? It's not about intent. It's about these numbers, which are incredibly high and I think worth examining more closely. And yeah, you're right. Like, we just don't have the data, but this is a public service. And so maybe we should. You know, Stephen, I think it's important to contrast this with water shutoffs, which got, you know, so much attention in Detroit for so long. Mm-hmm. And one reason why is because we're able to see how many water shutoffs there are because the Detroit Water and Sewerage Department is a public entity and we can ask them lots of questions and we have the right to get answers as reporters, right? They have to respond to our Freedom of Information Act requests. That's not the case with utilities. So we really have, you know, much less data and know much less about this, even though it's also, you know, a utility that we have to use every day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. I want to read some social media comments. Big Neo says, I dislike how DTE charges you for the creation of electricity and then charges you to deliver the electricity to you. They also charge a reconnect fee when the only thing they really need to do to reconnect a customer is press a key on a computer. High corporate greed. Jen on Twitter says, we deserve better than DTE. High rates dragging their feet on transitioning away from fossil fuel. One wind in power goes out. Who hasn't lost service in the past year? Michael on Twitter says, might seem small to people with money, but isn't there also a reconnection fee when they have to reconnect people? Yes, in fact, Michael, there is. Let's start on the phones today with Elena in Detroit. Elena, welcome to the show.
Yeah, twice in the last 6 months I've lost power, once by being cut off by DTE and the other for a power outage, which occurred and I didn't have power for 3 days and I lost all the food in my refrigerator. And there was absolutely no compensation offered by DTE, or else if you stand in some kind of a line for hours, you get $25 sitting on line. But I wanted to also just point out that DTE told me, because it was a dead of winter when mine was cut off, and I received several calls also from people in the community. One person in particular who didn't speak English and had a baby in her house, their power was shut off. And they told me that it was okay for them to shut off if it was 15 degrees. That's their bottom. So we can freeze in our houses. If the power goes off in the morning, which it did, at 15 degrees, you can rest assured that it's below zero that night. And if you didn't have the money, you just don't have any heat. Keeping in mind, this is a monopoly. There isn't a choice. This is the only game in town. If it's 15 degrees outside, you can freeze outside, and your house will be freezing in no time. I also do not want to lose sight of the fact that DTE spent millions of dollars in lobbying against Proposal P in our charter, which would have helped to protect us from these utility shutoffs.
So DTE
spent multiple millions of dollars in lobbying, and the CEO is a multimillionaire while the rest of us can freeze or die of heat.
Yeah. Elena, I want to get you to talk a little more about the shutoff that you experienced and what it took to get the power back and how quickly you were able to do that.
Do it quickly because I went to an organization that was able to help me. And there are organizations out here that do that. But this is something that is a real problem. DTE is basically also philanthropy, right? So why should we have to go and ask an organization for money to pay this monopoly? And I was able to do that, and I was able to get help for this woman who basically the family could not go and plead on their own behalf of because of their immigration status. There are many people in that situation that are completely invisible. They're off the radar, but they're still dependent on the same grid as the rest of us. I want to say that, yeah, I was able to get help through an organization, but it didn't help to lower my bill. It didn't help to make DTE more fair. It didn't help to open up any kind of other utilities. It just simply meant that I have to go and get money from these organizations that themselves get money from DTE through philanthropy. This is a perverse situation.
Yeah, Elena, I'm really glad you called and shared your really specific experience with DTE and pointed out some of the ways that this all kind of folds back on itself in many ways, the way that money flows in our community and the way that help is designed is in some ways a little nonsensical. Sarah, I wonder what your reaction is to Elena's story.
I mean, unfortunately, I heard hundreds of stories similar, right, where people really are scrambling and trying to get help. Like Elena said, you know, there are rules about when the power companies can shut off electricity. And so DTE won't shut off power when the forecast is down to 15 degrees or the wind chill is below zero for at least 2 days in a row. They also have rules about how hot it can get. But like Elena said, maybe the forecast was 17 degrees, but it was actually 15 degrees, right? And people can be very cold in their homes. And so it's also, I think what Elena was saying is like the stress of this is also a really significant thing.
And that's to say nothing, for instance, of the difficulties you have in a home when you shut the power off and it's very cold. For instance, all kinds of other things happen. There are other kinds of consequences that you can end up facing that don't have anything directly to do with power, but have to do with your house. I mean, the idea of pipes freezing, that kind of thing, it can really cause lots more disruption than just the loss of power. Elena, again, thanks very much for the call and the insight. Let's go to Aaron in Jefferson Chalmers. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Hello, I live on the east side of Detroit, and with some frequency I hear little generators. People are generating their own electricity, presumably because they cannot afford to pay DTE. And I believe that as the price of solar panels and lithium batteries goes down, we're going to have a battle of sorts between people who want to generate their own electricity and the utility. That's going to come in the future really quick.
So these generators that you're hearing, Aaron, do you believe them to be fuel-based or How are they getting power?
These are camping or construction type generators that really shouldn't be used to power a house, but that's what people do. They're two cycle generators that are gas and oil powered and are loud.
I hear what you're saying, and I understand, I think, why people would do that. It is not a really great idea. It's kind of unsafe, and it's super inefficient as well. Sarah, this idea of people trying to move away from the big utility companies is interesting. I don't know that it's very practical, given the setup that we have here in Michigan that hands a near monopoly, if not an outright one, to a company like DTE.
Right, but I think that that's where a lot of the tension is. And I will say about generators, I did speak to one of the captains at the Detroit Fire Department. It didn't make it into the final piece, but he said that, you know, there every year they do calls for people who are running generators in their homes, which is extremely unsafe because of the fumes. So that is something that people do and definitely should not do. I think that's part of the issue, right? Like, so utilities have a monopoly on two different things. They have a monopoly on power generation, which, like, you know, is it solar or coal plants or whatever, right? Like, they have a monopoly on generation, and then they have a monopoly on distribution, which is the utility line. Mm-hmm. And there is a lot of conversation and disagreement over whether or not utilities should still retain that monopoly on power generation, given that it's possible to be a small solar company, right? But we're always, I think, going to need to, at least for the near future, we're definitely going to need to still rely on companies like DTE for the distribution. But not surprisingly, they also want to keep their monopoly on the generation. And there is a lot of conflict about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, Aaron, really appreciate the call and the comments. Let's go to Anthony in Southwest Detroit. Anthony, what's on your mind?
Oh, Stephen, well, DTE, you're giving them a bad rap. I mean, they sponsored the local baseball team. They fixed up our park. They sponsored my favorite concert series, and they underwrite basically the whole Michigan legislature. I think you're not counting their charitable giving very much.
Anthony, I know you're being facetious, but you're making a very good point about the kind of things that that DTE does that I think lots of us benefit from and enjoy, and that those things are done in a way that I think is intended to blunt some of the criticism that they receive for, you know, the way that they handle power and the way they handle shutoffs in particular. But Sarah, talk about these things that DTE is doing, I guess, and whether, as Anthony says, we ought to be, less harsh on them because of it.
I don't know that they get lumped into the same conversation, right? So, you know, I have children in Detroit Public Schools, and all of them have, you know, these devices that DTE did pay for, right?
Yes.
To make sure that kids in Detroit Public Schools could be connected during the pandemic, right?
Right.
So they are doing things like that. And those things are community goods. They are in the same conversation with these shutoffs, and I think those can be separate conversations, right? Both things can be true. They can give a lot of money to charity and have a shutoff rate that is, you know, 47% higher than the second largest utility in the state. And those things are just separate, and we should look at them separately.
Yeah. Again, Anthony, appreciate the call and your humor there this today. Let's go to Dave in Clinton Township. Dave, welcome to the show. Dave, I think you need to turn down your radio, bud.
Yeah. Can you hear me okay now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Again, this is Dave from Clinton Township. I'm in South Florida right now, but I was listening to this morning, and I worked in power plants during my working career. Hmm. And to start with, when the Detroit Public Lighting Commission was in its heyday, and we had good money supporting us, We could produce electricity cheaper than Edison did. And on the midnight shift every night, we took a comparison of how much coal we burned, how much electricity we'd use to burn that coal and whole thing in a power plant, and we could generate electricity daily cheaper than Detroit Edison could with their rates, their public rates. But what I'm calling about primarily is the city of Wyandotte. The city of Wyandotte has a cooperative electricity, cooperative gas, cooperative, even their internet is cooperative. And I'm so proud of the city of Wyandotte. They've maintained it for all these years. And of course, Detroit Edison doesn't like that. So there's been all kind of efforts to try to eliminate it. But I'm surprised if somebody from Wyandotte hasn't called in. To me, we should have cooperative everything there, and it would work an awful lot better for us.
That's a really interesting point of reference, Dave. I'm glad you called and shared it with us, Sarah. I did not know about this cooperative in Wyandotte, but it sounds like the kind of thing that could be a community answer to the difficulties keeping access to everybody, regardless of their ability to pay.
Sure. I mean, for-profit utility companies are not the only model. They're the model that we chose as a country, back in the beginning of the 20th century, and we've stuck with it. But there are, public utilities, there are cooperatives, there are a lot of other ways, but these utilities are the way that most of us get our power, are through for-profit, but publicly regulated utilities.
Yeah. Okay, Sarah Alvarez, Editor-in-Chief of Outlier Media. Always great to chat with you, but especially great to talk to you about this new reporting. Thanks so much for joining us on Detroit Today.
Thank you, and thanks to all of your callers.
Sure. Coming up, we're going to continue this conversation, and we're going to talk about what it would look like if utilities were treated more like public goods. We're going to talk with someone who is doing a lot of thinking about that. We also want to continue to talk with you on the phones. 313-577-1019 is the number. Call and tell us what you think of DTE, of the relationship you have with the power companies. Also, still want to hear from folks who've had trouble maintaining their power, having enough money to keep the power on. What was that experience like? You can also go to social media, to Facebook or Twitter. The comments there, and we'll work you into the conversation. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.